This is the homily for the fourth Sunday of Lent, 2023, at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass were the first book of the prophet Samuel, chapter 16, verse 1, 6-7, and 10-13. The letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8-14. And the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1-41. The homilist was Father Gabriel Myers.
John's Gospel is the great Gospel. This Lent is the great Lent. We hear long stretches of the great Gospel on four occasions. There are things I do not like about the great Gospel. The long monologues. Would Jesus really talk like this? And they include fierce accusations of his religious opponents. Pride and falsehood must be combated, you might say, the reason that the soldiers of the great generation fought. But over the centuries, the great gospel's references to the Jews, have been the excuse for unspeakable violence against God's chosen people by Christians. And this attitude has recently risen in our country again. So we must state clearly, the Jews did not kill Christ. The dark side in each one of us did. And I don't think it has to be a pessimistic Calvinist to recognize that each of us has a dark side. Last Sunday, we met the woman at the well. Jesus shakes off his handlers, and you know what handlers are like. Steps outside the box and behaves unconventionally. He spends an hour privately with no chaperone, and with a dangerous woman. Is she cheating on husband six, or is she just sloppy and disorganized? A sensible homemaker makes the well run before the midday heat, while Ms. Samaria sprawls seductively there at noon, fanning herself and looking for fun. Jesus recognizes her high intelligence. Madam, give me a drink. Why should I? You think yourselves better than us. What's your business here? To give you something better than Jacob's well water. And then she drops the act. Please, sir, I want what you have. It's not in a bucket. It is inside, giving life in the wilderness of our earthly life. Your water is the river of the promised land. I want that. Madeline, the disciples then return and interrupt. Next Sunday, we will hear the climax of the Great Gospels, Part 1. Jesus raises a dead man. As do, in our day, miracle-making, cutting-edge healthcare. They raise the dead. They extend the quality of life by chemotherapy, psychotherapy, triage, which can bring you back from the dead even when you have a bullet in your skull. Those people today, and Lazarus, none of them experience resurrection. They experience resuscitation. The scene's true focus next week will be on the awareness of the sisters who are drowning in despair till Jesus comes. The sisters arrive at perception before the sensational event at the sealed tomb when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. The divine word, we know theoretically, has ultimate causality. And so in the story, the mummy comes forth. It is a frightening moment, but succeeded by the very powerful experience of being unbound and liberated, so that Lazarus picks up the remainder of his mortal years. The sisters, though, have the more profound experience of understanding and imbibing the underlying truth. I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will never die. This is not literally true for them or for us. but it does liberate us from fear of death and despair when a loved one dies. We gradually understand that in mortal death, life is changed, not ended. The most solemn experience of the most solemn day of the year, Good Friday, is hearing the Passion story from the great gospel. We never hear Matthew, Mark, or Luke on that day because their versions of the Passion story are tragic, in which an innocent victim suffers powerlessly. That approach is important, for it identifies with the world's many innocents who suffer cruelly. But in John, Jesus is not a victim. Pilate and the Roman soldiers may think they are in control, but Jesus does nothing without autonomously choosing himself. When Jesus voluntarily identifies himself to the soldiers, they are knocked to the ground. Pilate can get no traction against the truth of the man, representing us all, the human, he beholds. Jesus carries the cross boldly. He does not fall. And the instrument of torture becomes regal, imperial, universal, when the inscription records who he is in Latin, Hebrew, and Greek. These are the languages of political power, spiritual wisdom, and the highest artistic culture. When the spear releases the gush of blood and water, the Samaritan woman far away at Jacob's well must have felt it springing up in her, drowning any doubt, slaking the thirst for meaning. "It is finished," Jesus says in the great gospel. This is not a groan of wretchedness or defeat. It means it is accomplished. It is a cry of victory. Today, we have spit in the mud and Siloam, the pool. A beggar gains his sight by a crude technique, not by state-of-the-art surgery. When he starts seeing, there should be dancing on the rooftops, right? No. The deadly debating and controversy has only begun. It goes on and on. Is it the beggar? He only looks like him. Where is the one who anointed your eyes? I don't know. Such things on the Sabbath are inappropriate and unacceptable. How often have we heard these excluding adjectives used in the name of religion? In fact, the motive of nearly all this dialogue is to expel people from the synagogue. Fearing it, enforcing it, losing all place in the community. Expulsion can be worse than death by execution. The parents pass the buck. He is of age. Ask him. The newly seeing man is interrogated. How absurd this is on the happiest day of his life. Tell us, they say, that the healer is unacceptable. I don't know. I don't know. Can't you just be happy for me? We must enforce the rules. Never from the foundation of the world, never, not even by Moses or Elijah, has a person born blind gained sight. My healer must be holy. Who are you to teach us? And they cast him out. After this incredibly mean-spirited dialogue, so-called dialogue, there is a quiet, private, secret moment. Jesus seeks out the shunned man. Do you believe in the Messiah? I want to. Who is he? I, whom you see before you, the one talking to you now, am he. And the shunned man worships him. Jesus repeats his self-identification. I am the light of the world. Those who shun the light will live in darkness. There is also a reference to the Old Testament story. In the wilderness, when the complaining people were bitten by serpents and perhaps they deserved it, Moses made a bronze serpent. Anyone who looked, as the blind man born blind can now look, anyone who looked lived. So the story of the man born blind ties clearly into Good Friday. As Moses raised the serpent in the wilderness, so Messiah must be lifted up, so that all who look and see what happens will live forever. The great gospel has so much truth. It is terribly deep, complex, ironic. It is too much for the brain to take in. But if we look steadily, perhaps at one thing, with our inner eye, we will see something, gain insight, and live.